Good morning. If you will, turn your psalm books, number 80. Sing this song, we'll stand for opening prayer and scripture reading. I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. Oh, I need to cleanse and make me wholly whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrow for. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Please stand.
Dear God in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to come together, sing these songs, and study your word. God, we ask you to be with each and every one of us today as we get our lesson today, that we're able to take it with an open mind and heart, apply it to our lives and in our daily lives. God, we're thankful for having Daryl today as our speaker. Please be with him as he gives us our lesson from your word. God, please be with those that are unable to be with us today as they're dealing with their various health ailments and illnesses. Help them to have strength and that they're able to come back to us here, if that be your will. And all these things we ask you is in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And in the Pew Bible, that's on page 1676. But continue, and thou, starting in verse 14 here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and that hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Please mark your song books to 616. It'll be our song of encouragement. Please turn to 72. Sing this song, Daryl, bring forth lesson. Good to have Daryl with us. He knows Karen's not with him. I guess she's got COVID. Let's pray for her and that Daryl won't get it. Good to have him with us. Good to see Dave back and Rosie. He's come a long way. He looks pretty good, I think. And continue keeping in your prayers.
And Diane still, she had a wrist injury. He's not with us. Pray for her and others. Keep Jim Lanning, all them family in prayer. They're going through a lot. Number 72.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives.
Good morning. And no, I'm not here to rob you. Got my mask on. But as Tom mentioned, my wife Karen was tested for COVID on Wednesday. At the time, I wasn't doing too bad. So they didn't bother testing me, but since then I've developed a cough, and that's the reason I put the mask on, to try to just, if I did have it, I wouldn't spread it to anybody, and that way, hopefully you folks won't get it. And in the meantime, I also will probably try to avoid you folks as much as I possibly can. Not being rude, but trying to help for everybody. We're going to talk about God's rule book today. Rule books are something that changes from time to time, as far as things mankind has. Now, the first thing I'm going to mention to you, I don't even have it, just kind of popped into my head. COVID. Stop and think about what that was like back in about 2019, 2021. The whole country shut down. Schools were closed. Businesses were closed. Weren't allowed to go out for 21 days, and you had to have a mask on, and all of this, that, and the other. And that was the rules that was put down. Well, here we are in 2024. Karen went to the doctor Wednesday. Doctor said, yeah, you've got COVID. Just be careful what you do. She said, I don't consider COVID any worse than the flu or a common cold. Well, that's how things have changed. Man's rules have changed just in, what, 4 or 5 years? Holly mentioned it. Well, your sister, somebody you were friends with, mentioned about the COVID, and they told him just to put the mask on and after 24 hours go out and do anything you wanted. Yeah. But God's rules don't change. Now we're going to look at a couple of other rules that are here I've got down. Football season's here. Many of us in here enjoy it. Some of you enjoy Friday night a lot more than I did, because Philo played New Lex and you guys pretty well whooped him. I didn't go to the game, but I did follow bits and pieces of it on YouTube. But football, it's something that's got rules that has to be played by. Now, the rules of the digest of the National Football League, it says, has been prepared, and this is coming from their rule book, has been prepared to aid players, fans, and members of the press, radio, television, media, and their understanding of the game. It's not meant as a substitute for the official rule book, but in any case of conflict between these explanations and the official's rules, the rules always have precedence. And in order to make it easier to coordinate the information in this digest, topics discussed generally follow in the order of the rule book. So, for example, one of the things that deals with the rule book is the use of the hands. The blocker cannot use his hands or arms to push anybody from behind. Now, the only exception might be to that would be at a goal line stance, and you're trying to push your fella across the goal line or for a first down, possibly. But you can never push a defender in the back. You can't push him from behind. You can't hang on to him. Or encircle an opponent in a manner that restricts his movement as the play develops. So if I'm a blocker working the offensive line, that defensive lineman starts to beat me, I can't wrap my hands around and pull him down. That's one of the rules. And that's one of the rules that has never changed. Now, hands cannot be thrust above the frame to connect an opponent in the neck, face, or head. What used to be known as head slap. Bubba Smith made a living off of that. Those of you who are old enough to know who he was, he'd come up, smack a guy in the head. As a defender, he would come up and do that to an offensive lineman and then be able to get right past the offensive lineman. But the hands can't be used in that fashion, either defensively or offensively. So it's got to remain on the frame. The frame is defined as part of the opponent's body below the neck that is presented to the blocker. And a defensive lineman may not tackle or hold an opponent other than a runner. Otherwise, he may use his hands, arms, or body only. Rules. And probably somewhere along the line in one of the games Friday night, whether it was the one here at New Lex or whether it was wherever some of the teams played, no doubt there was a hold called. And of course, somebody is always saying, that wasn't a hold. Well, but the way the referee saw it, that was a hold. Or was it an illegal procedure or an offsides or pass interference? All of those are rules, and they're set down, and they're guidelines that a football player has to follow. And if you refuse to follow, you can be kicked out of the game. We're coming to the end of Major League Baseball. And this code of rules governs the playing of baseball games by professional teams of Major League Baseball. And the leagues are members of the National Association Professional Baseball League. For example, Rule 7.01, a regulation game. A game consists of 9 innings. Now, depending upon the league you're in and the age bracket, you could be playing 6 if you're in Little League. Or Babe Ruth is a little more. And of course, when you get to the major leagues, there you are playing at 9 innings. So it consists of 9 innings unless extended because of a tie score. Or it can be shortened, one, because the home team doesn't need or needs none of its half of the ninth inning, or only a fraction of it, or because the umpire in chief calls the game. Rain, lightning, some other reason that the umpire says, we're going to cancel this game. Sometimes games get canceled and started over. If the game's only gone two or three innings, but it's a downpour, there are rules and guidelines that stipulate how those things are handled. And a lot of times that's start the game over again. So those are all rules that have to be abided by. Even when you get to the World Series, there's a rule there. Maximum of seven games can be played, but it's the best of four. Whoever gets to four games first wins the championship. You want to see a little something, though, a little different, go dig a little deeper into your history of baseball, and you'll find that there were times there were eight games played, and it was the best of whoever won the first five. But then they changed that. Okay. Go on to one thing more that normally you never think about. There are all kinds of baking shows on television. And sometimes they can be kind of interesting. I've sat down with my wife and my daughter when Mandy was living at home and watched some of these baking shows and these cake shows, or the shows that come along around Thanksgiving and Halloween where they take the pumpkins and they carve them and they do all kinds of things with them. And they make the pumpkin do this and get all kinds of creations. Or you have to make maybe 1,000 cupcakes and put them on a platform of some kind that you design, and they have helpers build it for them. And they make all these cupcakes and they do different things and they put things on them. And there's all kinds of rules that those folks have to follow. But did you know that when you're baking a cake at home, there are rules for you to follow? Now, you might deviate from the rules, and that's up to you. But when you grab a cake box off of the Kroger's down here, whether it's a Betty Crocker or whatever it is, you look at the back of it, there's rules for you to follow to make that cake. Well, this one here had 1 1/4 cups of butter softened, 2 1/4 cups of sugar, 7 large white eggs, or egg whites at room temperature, egg whites, 3 1/2 cups of flour, 4 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract. Now that's the ingredients. And according to the way that the manufacturer designed, that's what you're supposed to use. Now, if you were going into one of these baking shows, they might look at you and say, there's your ingredients, you have to use them. You wouldn't be allowed to add anything else. Of course, if I know most women, or sometimes men, if they're the ones making it, they may tweak it a little of this, they'll tweak it a little of that. But if you're doing it the way they've designed, you can't go any different. It goes on, preheat the oven to 325. Don't heat it, preheat it to 375. You'll end up with a burned bottom on that cake, for sure. Preheat it to 325. Beat the butter and sugar at a medium speed with a heavy-duty electric stand mixer until fluffy. Gradually add the egg whites, 1/3 at a time, beating well with each addition. Sift together. Now, how many of us still have sifters? Sift together cake flour and baking powder, gradually adding to the butter mixture alternately with 1 cup of water, beginning and ending with a flour mixture. Stir in the vanilla. Pour the batter into a greased and floured 13x9-inch pan. Bake it at 325 for 45 to 50 minutes, or until a wooden toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean. Cool completely in a pan on a wire rack for about an hour and remove the pan to a serving platter. And that's the rules for making that cake. Notice what's not on that list. Nothing about icing. Now, most of us would not want to eat a cake without icing. And even then, some of us are very particular of whether it's a creamed icing or what kind of icing it is, fluffy icing and so on and so forth. But to make that cake mix according to the rules that's there on that box, no icing is to be used. Okay. So, what are you getting at, Daryl? Well, previously mentioned rules were taken from a rule book for the NFL, or the digest for the NFL, Major League Baseball and the White Cake Recipe. And yes, as I say, it is a white cake mix. As I mentioned earlier, the Food Network has many cooking and baking shows, and all have rules to follow. I can never see how they can get so many things done in the time limit that they give those people, but yet they seem to do it. But God's also got a rule book. God's got a rule book by which He has guidelines put down and instructions and things that are there for our wisdom and our knowledge. Things that are in that rule book include, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A history of how the earth was created. A history of many things that happened upon this earth. Flood. How God chose a people to be His people. And how through those people, His Son, Jesus the Christ, was brought into this earth. We were brought in, and being brought into this earth, Jesus died upon the cross because, as it says in the book of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." There's a song that we sing in the songbook sometimes. I don't much care for it. It says, "They searched through heaven and found a Savior." That's unscriptural. They did not search through heaven. Jesus was the one, the chosen one, the Son of God, part of the Godhead. There was no choosing and no searching. And God gave us a rule book to follow. And in that rule book, Jesus, as the chosen one, gave His life upon Calvary. And within that, there are rules that we need to follow. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. I believe we touched basis upon that the last time we were here. Matthew chapter 22 in verse 34. I'm going to go back to verse 32. Jesus says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the living." When they heard this, they were astonished at His teachings. And then it said, when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, being a lawyer, asked Him a question. Lawyer, not as in we think of a lawyer, but a lawyer as in a teacher. Well, he could have been a lawyer like we think of, but it could also be a term referring to a teacher, a scholar, a historian. And that one comes to Him and asks Him a question. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Probably thinking Jesus is going to say, "Well, it's thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt have no other gods before Me." Probably thinking that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But Jesus says, no, there's one greater than that. "You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." End of discussion. End of discussion. We talked about in Bible class this morning how Nebuchadnezzar Saul, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They said, and there's a fourth one in there. He said, we threw three in there. I see four. And the fourth was likened to the Son of God. And when he called them out, he made a proclamation that nobody may put down the God of the Israelites. Nobody may him belittle him. But Nebuchadnezzar did not say anything. You need to love that God. And yet that was the first and the greatest commandment. First and the greatest, first minute it preceded all others. It would have been the thing that Adam and Eve were taught. And even they didn't follow it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. The second one is likened to it. The second is really close to it, Jesus said. You love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor? Person next door to you? The person that you don't know? Maybe even your neighbor, it may be even your husband or your wife. Love them as yourself. John chapter 15. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. He said, you love each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Americans, foreigners, love them as we love ourselves. And Jesus even put rules in his book. The Lord God has put in there these rules that need to be followed. If you want to go to heaven, there is but one way to go. Oh, many people will say, all you have to do is hear. Some will say, all you have to do is believe. But look what the author said. No, I could pick up the book Gone with the Wind, but I have no right to change that. I have no right to take out the portion in which they burned Atlanta just because I don't like it in the book. I don't have the right to add anything into it just because I don't like the outcome of the book. Well, the same thing that holds true to God's word. We have no right to take anything out of it. We have no right to put anything extra in it, according to the last chapter of the book of John and the last chapter of the book of Revelations. In fact, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is his book. And the world has no, the denominations have no right to change what is written therein. And he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you make sure then you teach them to do the same thing. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Well, what were some of the things he commanded his disciples? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Husbands, love your wives. And we can go on and on and on. He said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. And here's some more of the things that he taught us. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members with one another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. All right, let's quickly look at those. Two things are mentioned there, anger and wrath. Jesus said, be angry, but do not sin. He's a good example of that. He went into the temple. He saw that they had made the temple a den of thieves, as he referred to it. And he chased out all the livestock. He turned over the tables of those who had the birds and the money changers. He was angry, but he wasn't sinning. He was under control in what he said and what he did. Had he lost his temper and gone into wrath, wrath is uncontrolled temper, then he would have turned the birds loose. See, the cattle could be caught. The sheep could be caught. What other livestock was there could have been gone out and grabbed a hold of and brought back in. But you're not going to catch a bird. How many of you have ever been able to catch a bird? I haven't. And I can remember as a little kid trying to, because I had heard that old phrase, you can put salt on the end of the bird's tail, you can catch it. Well, yeah, you get that close to it, you ought to be able to catch it. But Jesus didn't let the birds loose. And he had anger, controlled anger. And the scripture says, though, do not let your son go down upon your wrath or uncontrolled anger to the point where you're throwing things around in the house, you're hitting other people, you're breaking things. That's wrath. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Don't give place to the devil. That's what Judas did. Remember, Jesus told him at the Last Supper, what you do, do quickly. The scripture said the devil was in Judas. Don't give place to him. Don't allow him to come into your heart and become part of your life. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, for that what is good, that he may have something to do to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Where's what you say? Don't go around swearing, cussing. I just told a young man the other day, I told him, I said, you know, it doesn't take any intelligence to swear. It doesn't take any intelligence to cuss. Anybody can do that. But it takes intelligence to be able to control your tongue. And it takes intelligence to be able to speak properly and not swear. And the scripture says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. What is, let it be good for necessity, for edification. So when you have to correct somebody, you don't have to get mad and storm around and swear and this. You talk sensibly. You make sense of what you say, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And put this away, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. That's what you're to get out of here, to get out of your life. Now keep your finger there, because we're going to come back over to that chapter, and let's go over to Colossians chapter 3 here. We're going to look at some more things that we are to put away from ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Yesterday I just was part of a ceremony where a gentleman was laid to rest who had been cremated. He will be in the ground, covered up. He's dead. And this is the way we are supposed to treat things in earth and ourselves that are wrong. We are supposed to put to death these things. put to death your members which are of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. You know, it's kind of like what happened back in the days of Noah. They were living lives like that. And God came upon them then. One of these days, he's going to come upon the sons of disobedience here upon this earth now. And Paul writing here says in verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked. When you lived in them, you had these as part of your life, Paul said. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. You are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We're just going to stay right here, though, and finish up with some more things than we're supposed to be putting on, making part of our lives. Verse 10. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed according to the image of him who created you. The image of him who created you would be God. And what is that image? Perfect. Sinless. And that's what we're supposed to be like. Therefore, as the elect of God, holiness and beloved, put on tender mercies. Verse 12, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You're not allowed to hold a grudge against anybody. You're not allowed to hold a grudge, is basically what that's saying. But above all these things, put on love. What did Jesus say? Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love hath any man than to give his life for his friend. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all the same in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yeah, that's what we're putting on. And back over to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 23 and 24. Let us be renewed in our mind, that we may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Remember, Scripture talks about us being raised from the dead from after baptism as a new person, a new creature. And then down to verse 32. And be kind to one another. It's amazing how things always seem to come back to kindness. Or what goes hand in hand with kindness? Love. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So what we need to do, whether we want to admit it or not, is we need to follow God's rule book, the Holy Bible. There is nothing other than this, the Word of God, for us to follow. Oh, there may be commentaries out there. There may be books that good men have written. But none of them are the way of salvation. Only the Word of God is. And this morning, as we offer the invitation, we would ask that you look at where you're at in your life. Are you following God's rule book? If you've never followed it and you need to put the Lord Christ on as your Savior in baptism, then we would ask that you do that this very day. If you have, though, and your life is not following the rule book, we would ask that you would come also. We can pray with you, hopefully give you the strength to get yourself back where you need to be. If there's any way that we can help you, please come as we stand and sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Please be seated. We pair of mimes take Lord's Supper as we do each week. Please turn to 432.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, where a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beam around me. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross,
Does anybody need the Lord's Supper this morning? Not. This morning, we come and we surround this table. And just like the lesson that we learned from Brother Gerald this morning, we have God's rules. There's a rule book. And just like the table this morning, there's rules that we have to do when we come and surround this table that God's given us. He's given us the rules that we don't have to do this up on the first day of the week. And you know, in the world, a lot of times we look around, they don't follow that rule. They don't do it up on the first day of the week. They don't do it on the first, they don't do it on Sunday. They don't follow that rule. And God has given us that rule by giving it to us in Scripture. And He tells us and shows us, just like in Acts chapter 20, in verse 7. You know, they learned there upon the first day of the week that we're to do, partake of the Lord's Supper. Just like the bread represents Christ's body, and the fruit of the vine represents the blood that He shed upon the cross. I'd like to turn now to Matthew chapter 26. Yeah, start there and read from 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink hereforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, like I said, we come and we surround this table up on the first day of the week, just like we learned in Daryl's lesson. You know, there's several rules, you know, but God has given it to us in Scripture. And He's given it to us, telling us what we need to do. Let's go to God in prayer, and let's give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning and be able to surround this table and remember what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God and continue our thanks of giving thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to continue our thanks and be able to surround this table and remember what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this fruit of the vine for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also separate and a part of the partaking of the Lord's Supper is the offering. We're to do this upon the first day of the week. Every week, we're to do this upon the first day of the week. Give back to what we've been offered. Let's go to God. Our Father in heaven, we continue our thanks, and we know that everything that we see and we feel and everything that we know that came from you, especially when we look around and we know that we wouldn't have it if you didn't help us get it. Be with us as we go to what we've been prospered for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Quite a few announcements this morning. Try to make them as quickly as possible. Glad to see Dave and Rosa back with us this morning. Dave's feeling a little bit better. Still working on his therapy, I know. Diane's away today. She's going to have surgery Wednesday. As Daryl said, Miss Karen has COVID, which is not a good thing. Our daughter in New York and our granddaughter, they both had COVID this last week. Remember Jean and Marie Lanning, keep them in your prayers. Going through a hard time. We have a card here from Dave and Rosa. I'll read this. Our Christian family is a circle of strength and love. We are so blessed to have a wonderful family to worship and sing praises to our Lord. With a heart full of gratitude, we deeply appreciate all the beautiful cards and prayers. Big hugs and love. Our church family and Christian love, Dave and Rosalie. Also, we have a Friday night sing coming up on Friday, September 13th at Sunrise Church in Parkersburg. I'll put this on the board. It has directions on how to get there. Get a bulletin, a lot of information in the bulletin. Lots of sick people in there. We need to get rid of that sick people list and get healthy ones there. On the 21st of September, the Randolph's going to have a patio praise. And everyone's invited to that. Starts from 5 to 7. Several things going on at Norville Park, at Pennsville, and Somerset. So I'd say get a bulletin, read it over. Is there anything else I should know about and don't that needs announced? Tom? Yeah, Larry? Keep Larry and Sue Burnett in your prayers. Nothing else. We'll be dismissed by closing prayer. Jimmy?
Our Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee this day for sparing our lives once again, the many bountiful blessings that You bless us with each day, Your care watching over us, Father. We pray this morning that You'd be with those that are suffering with ill health and those that have COVID and the many that we know of, Father, that need Your help. We pray that You might heal them and they might soon be able to be back with us and with a measure of health. So thankful to have Dave back this morning, Father. We pray that each day he continues to improve. We pray now, Father, that as we've heard this lesson this morning, that we would not be infected with sin. Those things that would be in our hearts and lives and thoughts that we should not have. Help us to be stronger in the things that we do. We might seek after Your righteousness, Father, and seek after holiness. We know You are a holy God. We pray that each one of us might improve in our service to Thee and draw closer to Thee each day of our lives. We're so thankful for the love that You have for us, the love that Christ had. We pray, Father, that we might be able to have that same love for one another as we work here together as Your church here at New Lexington. We pray now as we go home, Father, that You'll watch over us and guide us in each thing that we do each day of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.